Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome everyone to Lovely Travels Podcast. This week's episode, Emma is joined by Amanda Thompson, who is a financial planner and a triathlete. Amanda is here to talk about what it's like to travel as a triathlete, because triathleting does lead to a lot of traveling because of all the wonderful places where you go and, you know, run and swim and bike ride. Not in that order, but it's very travel intensive, and she does a great job of combining travel for her sport with her family. And she goes into some details, into some great stories from, you know, around the world, everywhere from New York to Cambodia, Italian Alps, Vietnam. Emma and Amanda will reminisce about biking through Vietnam and pain and suffering and all the other good stuff that goes with traveling sportily. Yeah, so I really enjoyed listening and editing this episode, and I'm sure you'll have just as much fun listening to it too. So big shout out to Amanda. Thank you for being on the show, and yeah, enjoy.
Welcome to the Lovely Travels podcast, Amanda Thompson.
Hello.
How are you today?
I am fantastic. It's getting closer and closer to Christmas for me, so yes.
It's exciting. Well, even though we've introduced you, I always love to ask people, who are you? Tell us a bit about yourself and how do we know each other?
I knew you were going to do this to me, and I think you do it on purpose, Emma, because you know that this elevator pitch thing doesn't work too well for me, even though you keep telling me to do it. So I am Amanda Thompson, and I am a financial advisor with a special interest in women in business and really getting down to the nuts and bolts of helping women. And the way I do it is probably with a touch of reality, a touch of me, and probably a little bit of humour along the way. So I stand out from the normal crowd. And we know each other through Business Chicks, especially Business Club, of which you, my dear, are the shining light. Every time I get on those video chats, and instantly drawn to you and your fantastic elevator pitch.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you know, when people hear the intro to this podcast, I do love me an intro, but I'm so narcissistic, I get really emotional because it's got the music too, and I'm like, oh, let's travel and travel vicariously. Ooh. So anyway, we've got to get you to that point where you're, ooh, maybe we need a backing track for you.
Oh, I've got plenty. When I swim, I've got plenty, I can tell you. But me singing to myself is not the best thing.
DIY backing track. So tell us, where do you live?
I am Melbourne girl, born and bred, and city girl. As much as all my family have migrated to country, Victoria, I'm still city girl in Melbourne.
Ah, yeah. It's usually the other way around.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. They've all gone for the regional. Yes. And you've been there all along?
I have. I took a stint when I was 18, 19, and actually lived in Queensland and worked at the Queensland Academy of Sport. But must admit, I got a little bit homesick and went home. Went home back, but also to finish uni.
And that's why we have you here today, is to talk about your sport, which has led to lots of travel, and even the, you know, your sporting love has gone into your business name. It's really, you know, part of, huge part of your life, and you've got this gorgeous newsletter, Life and Lycra. Mm-hmm. And so tell us, you're a triathlete. How did you get into triathlons?
I do have to say that I've had a swimming background my whole life. So I swam since I was 5 years old, competition. But then having babies and the likes, as I played netball a lot, and then got divorced, believe it or not, and a friend decided that it'd be a really good idea to buy me a half Ironman triathlon entry as a birthday present.
Oh, that's a random. If anyone's out there and wants to get me presents, that's probably not on the top of my list. Like, if I pushed myself to do it, but as a gift,
True story. True story. And at that point in time, I really do like to tell people I couldn't even run 4K back then without stopping. And here I am now, you know, 21 or a marathon, although sometimes now I don't feel like I could keep going. But
oh, my gosh, just a cash marathon. So tell us, in a triathlon, and there are like minis and halves and different levels, but I guess a classic triathlon, what would be the, what's included?
So it's a classic triathlon is three disciplines. So it's a swim, a ride, and a run. And there are varying entry levels. There are varying distances, and people, you know, often you've got the sprint and you've got the endurance type. And the endurance type's normally what's called the half Ironman or the Ironman. And so that's a lot longer than you'd see at the Olympics, for example. So my little niche for the time being, and it's more a time thing, is half Ironman distance, which is a 1.9-kilometre swim, a 90K bike ride, and then a half marathon, 21.1K to top it off. And the full Ironman's just double all of that. So you can imagine, so a full Ironman, my aim would be to finish in under 11 hours. So if that gives you an indication of why I do the halves.
Oh, my God. No, I've just done, like, I'm sitting here, you know, sweat dripping down my head. I've just done a 30-minute workout in my lounge room. So just the thought of that. I mean, oh, gosh, it must feel amazing to complete.
And it does. And my youngest daughter is still really into it. But, you know, there's varying ages. There's varying demographics in every sense. So it's an amazing sport. And I actually, they're going to digress, and this is what I do, sorry. But on the weekend, watched this now 9-year-old, but this 8-year-old, and we both know the mother of this girl.
Yeah.
So Liv finished running 100 kilometres in a year. So she ran 5Ks 20 times. And what I actually love and what reminds me about my sport is, honestly, I was so excited to watch her achieve that goal. The same thing happens on a triathlon course. You can have world champions flying past you. You can be on your second or final lap of the run when people are just going out on their first, and you're giving them a little tap on the butt, or you're saying, come on, you've got this. Or it's an experience that you can only begin to explain unless you've been there. So it's a great feeling.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And that's, you know, the bringing together and the connection and, you know, why we like to do these things. But the triathlons have also given you the opportunity to travel.
They have. I've been to many a place with triathlon. And for me, being a single mum, travel was always something that I had on my horizon. I had kids quite young, and it was always the goal to travel later in life. And I went to a couple of places before I started doing triathlon overseas and had a ball. And then triathlon's an expensive sport at the best of times. So trying to do triathlon and travel as separate entities would be probably sending my bank balance into negative all the time. So what I realized is that the nature of triathlon, and I suppose for me, lucky enough or the hard work enough to qualify for certain races, championship races, have given me the opportunity to travel to places that I wouldn't have even thought of going to. The next ones on the horizon is not for another year away, but it's Finland. Like, I'm going to Finland.
In now, summer, I'm hoping.
Yes.
I've been to Finland and been to see Santa in December, and I don't think you would want to be bike riding again.
Well, I have ridden in the snow in Italy, so that's amazing. But, yeah, so it's not somewhere where I'd, if you had have asked me what was on my bucket list of places to go, it was potentially not. But now I'm like, oh, wow, how cool. I can say, and my daughter is like, can I come, Mum? And I'm like, well, what year are you going to be in at school and how much is it going to cost me to take us all? So, yeah, so I've been to some amazing places, and with a bike in tow is not always the easiest of travel.
And they're not cheap bikes, so you want to make sure they get over there okay.
I do. And the last trip I went on, I had my daughter with me, and we went to Nice. So the last, pre-COVID, the world championships were in Nice, and I decided to take my youngest daughter with me. I couldn't take my eldest because she was doing VCE. And I had her, I had two suitcases, she had one suitcase, and my bike. And we decided that the best way to get around Europe, because we traveled for 3 weeks afterwards, was by train. So I decided leave a suitcase behind, and I got it shipped from Nice, and I think our last stop was Barcelona. So I actually got someone to take one of the suitcases straight from Nice to Barcelona. And you know what, but it's half the fun. Olivia and I will still laugh about, remember when we had that bike and we couldn't get on the train, Mum? And yeah, so
I love it. I struggled getting my own suitcase on the train. That's impressive. But so lovely that you can tack it on and make it into a trip. And yeah, okay, so like we're saying a triathlete, and now you're just throwing around the term world championships.
Age group. Let's put age
group. I know, but still, don't diminish this. Just, oh, that time that I went to the world champs. It's not something I can say, Amanda. And I don't know if what would I be able to go to the world champs in if there was maybe a speaking challenge.
Elevator pitches, definitely.
Yes, there you go. Putting yourself forward. Podcast world champs. That's the goal.
There probably is one, you know.
Yeah. You wouldn't shut us all up, get everything done. But no, and one of the more famous ones I know of is in Hawaii.
Yes.
Because I know that Taria Pitt, she went and did that one over there. So is there sort of like some, you know, like I'm likening it to tennis, you know, like grand slams, yeah, like the major ones?
Yep, and that's it. So that's the Hawaii, it's Kona, so it's the Ironman World Championship. So I said that's the longest distance. And I have been there, but unfortunately I haven't competed yet. So I went, but so how's this for a story? 2 weeks after I got home from Nice, I hopped on a plane and went to Kona to support a friend over there. So I was away for another 2 weeks. So I went from Nice to Kona to support my best friend because she'd qualified for the world championships over there. And that's amazing. And it was actually born out of people doing three disciplines and arguing who is the fittest person. And the Hawaii Ironman was born. So, yes, Taria Pitt's done it. Gordon Ramsay's done it. There's been a few people. Yeah, there's been a few people that have got to go to Hawaii, and even that disabled athletes are amazing over there to watch because there are some serious hills.
Yeah, and there it's an island with volcanoes on it because it's the big
lava
island,
fields.
Isn't it?
Yeah. You ride through the lava fields. It's called Queen K. So I've been, as much as I haven't competed, I have ran through what's called the Energy Lab, which is through the lava fields, which is just exactly as it sounds. There's just heat coming up.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And Queen K Highway, basically when you turn around and you look at the water, you can tell what you're about to come into because you can see the water in the main street of Kona. So that was pretty cool. If I put it out there, I could get myself in trouble. But the aim for me was to compete in Busselton this year, 2021. With the view to qualifying for Kona, but unfortunately border restrictions has not allowed me to travel. So I've got to try and find the oomph again to enter another full Ironman, which I have. I've entered Port Macquarie in May. And let's see. We'll watch this space.
So how many full Ironmans are in Australia, or is it just Port Macquarie? Is that the one?
No. So at the moment we've got Cairns. We've got Port Macquarie. We've got Busselton. And I think that might be it. I'm just trying to think. I think that's the only three full Ironmans now. Someone will probably be listening going, no, Amanda, you're wrong.
Fellow triathletes listening, please chime in, jump in the Lovely Travels community and join in with the conversation. But that's, that's what a great opportunity. And so you have to qualify one of them before you can get to.
Yeah. Yep. So you have to finish high up in your age group and, cost you a fortune. If anyone is listening and wants to have a real giggle, or we could probably post it, Emma, there is this thing on YouTube which is basically so you're an Ironman, and it talks about the cost and how stupid and how ridiculously dumb it is to embark upon something so silly as Ironman, and it's definitely not because it's cheap sport.
And is that due to the training and the equipment and the locations? Like, what sort of
It is. I mean, you've got three disciplines and the bike is huge, but it's also the travel. So you've got to travel. There's not that many of them. So you're traveling. You're often paying for accommodation because, if you're doing something that starts or can be 12-hour race, you can imagine what time it starts. So you have to travel. You pay for accommodation. You've got to pay for your bike to get there. You've got to pay for your entry. So an entry to an Ironman in Australia is just over $1,000.
Yeah.
Just for the love of putting yourself through pain. Yeah.
I'd like $1,000 to be tortured, please.
Could you imagine if we were in New York at one of the fancy restaurants, what we could spend $1,000 on?
Well, I'm there with you. Is that an invite? That's an open invite? Okay, maybe to the bucket list. When you go do the New York Marathon, I'll be there cheering you on, Amanda, waiting for our lovely dinner after.
Done.
Is marathon just not a thing for you? Like, because you like that the whole thing?
Do you know? No, it isn't. And you'll probably raise your eyes at me and say, sometimes I think, what am I going to do after triathlon? And I'll often go, maybe I'll just race bikes, or maybe I'll go to marathon. So I haven't decided.
Right, just a cash marathon.
After my run this morning, though, Emma, I tell you what, walking up the stairs at my office, I felt like I'd run a marathon and I'd only run 10 kilometres in the hills. And I was just like, I can't keep these heels on if I have to keep walking up these stairs this morning.
Good. You're human. I'm glad to know that.
Oh, I so am.
And so what, you mentioned before Italy. So whereabouts in Italy was that? And it must have been, was it just there was snow? Was it actually one of the colder months?
It was May, so there's not supposed to be snow.
No, it really shouldn't.
No, and it was this year. So we rode, a real bucket list type item is that we rode the Dolomites, so the Italian Alps, the Dolomites. So I've ridden all the big ones. And when I rode up Gavia, it snowed from start to finish. And there's this amazing photo, which I think I've given you, of me riding with just snow all around me. And riding up there, I actually had to basically go through the snow on the road. And that was pretty cool. And then another time, I think we were coming down Stelvio actually, and there was a landslide. So we had to go back up and go back down another way. That was not fun. So that was great. That was just amazing. I did that with a tour group of riding. So that wasn't with a triathlon. That was purely just a 10-day ride that I chose to do.
I won't mock about those because I've done 10-day recreational rides. So, but you being like, it's part of this thing that I've done. And I think my biggest day ever was 100Ks, and we did that over the full course of the day, or maybe 110, that might be my biggest, but over the full course of the day in Vietnam. And then you're telling me that I'm supposed to have done a swim before that, and then I'm meant to run 40 kilometres after that. I would have I would have probably punched you.
But how cool. So I've ridden in Vietnam too on mountain bikes with my daughters, which was great. How cool is it looking at places in unconventional terms, and just to take in the scenery that you're not whooshing by in a car, and you get to take in the smells and you get to take in the scenery. And even especially in places like Vietnam, I always get amazed that you can go from one scenery to the next quite instantaneously. When I was in Italy, honestly, we were riding up a mountain and then we were in farmland and there were daisy cows crossing the road with their bells. I've got a video of it and it's just the most amazing sound with their little bells crossing the road. We had to stop for daisy
cows. Oh, I love it. Going across. I love it. It's like when I was in Cambodia and we were like, buffalo, what a buffalo, stop. Like, wait, and run across and you're like, you're right of way, buffalo.
Yeah. So I've never been someone who's been overly, I say cultural. My mum laughs at me, but I embrace learning about things in real life. So when I went to Cambodia, I went to the killing fields and that was just insane. I couldn't comprehend it, but it was my history lesson because I wasn't great at history at school. And when I went to New York, all I wanted to do, I'm a financial planner, so all I wanted to do was go to Wall Street.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't want to go to the September 11 memorials, and I just happened to eat pizza at the last standing building, and I didn't know that I'd done it. So I take my culture in different ways, like walking around New York, watching or looking in all the fire stations at the people who had lost their lives in September 11 was my way of culture. And I went to, is it St. Pat's Cathedral, I think it is, in New York. And I remember just sitting in there thinking, imagine how packed this place would have been in the preceding days. And that's what I love about what I do and how I choose to do it, is that I just fall upon learning things.
That's lovely. And like you said, with the with getting to see a country in such a different way, and I won't run through a country, but I've trekked through in many places, and it's just a completely different view, these treks and going with a local guide. Having the opportunity to be with them and he's doing these cycling and that they're rather accessible. So the triathlons might not be as accessible, quite a lot of commitment, but there's ways that you can do, the runs, the cycling tours. You can book to do a tour with a company and see, and it doesn't have to be a day trip. You can do a couple of days. Mm. It doesn't mean not necessarily you're always riding from A to B. Like we would sometimes, they would load the bikes on the truck and then we would drive to the next spot and then we would ride from there. So, you get a bit of a mix.
Especially if you're in Tuscany, because you'll probably not be able to ride your bike home if you're stopping at the vineyards.
Top tip. My friend keeps wanting to do this, a marathon in France.
Yep.
The wine drinking one.
And cheese. A cheese at the end. And there's a triathlon in Germany where there's beer at the end, because obviously that's Germany. And I think it must be around Oktoberfest. But yes, there is something. And my friends always say to me, because I'm known as the fittest alcoholic going around sometimes. So they keep always saying to me, Amanda, look at this. Go to France and do this one.
Yeah, my darling friend, we did some treks. We've done a couple of treks together and she's like, okay, Emma, I'm done with this mountain stuff, but let's go and do this marathon with cheese and wine. And I was like, darling, we won't make it past the first 2 kilometres. Like, I love you and I love your optimism, but that 42 kilometres would take us for five days, which is fine. That's fine too. That's like the, Compostela, the Camino de Santiago.
I want it. That's on my bucket list.
That's what we should get the Dignity Girls to do.
Yeah, that's on my bucket list. Get the gang
for that. But yeah. I'm a purist with that. Well, the full one's a lot longer, but I want to do the like 30 days like this.
I want to, because it's supposed to be, as I said, I learn culture from things, and that the whole spiritual adventure of that really excites me in something like pushing me out of my comfort zone. So actually going on that spiritual adventure of the El Camino would be, yeah,
And walking for you, that would be the challenge, wouldn't it?
You know, I am doing that walk at the moment. That you got to, I can't say, I should be able to say the lady's name, at the Amanita Foundation, I think it is, but it's that young girl who walked 125 kilometres in 6 days at 43 weeks pregnant just to go and have the cesarean. So the whole giggle is that I'm walking, and I am walking, so my runs are not included. I'm going to walk 125 kilometres in November. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's a challenge. I used to, I took one guy on a trek in Bhutan, and he was an ultra marathon runner and, you know, does, you know, yeah, 10K, 20K trail run in the morning, you know. And I said, this must be just a breeze for you. And he's like, actually, it's a challenge because I would be running. And it was very high altitude in Bhutan. It was, you know, Australia, we just don't have anything that high. We're talking 4,000 metres plus. And so, yep. You know, he said that bit's the challenge. But he said it's actually the slower pace. It's a different type of challenge. And doing it as a group. You would, even though, like you said, there is that community element with the triathlon, you're obviously setting your own pace.
Yep, yep.
And I've found that with the cycle trips that I've had. I took 32 Dutch women, Amanda, to Vietnam. So I had a group of 32 Dutch women. I had one other assistant cycling through Vietnam, and they don't mince their words. They're very straightforward people. I love them dearly. I'm friends with a lot of them still, but I had to rein them in because the gap, we ended up separating into two groups. I said, you got the Speedy Gonzales and the casual cruisers.
Yep.
But they were, you know, we had this clash at one point because they were riding past the guide, and I said, you can't ride past the guide. You don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. This is Vietnam. You don't know. It could be a buffalo around the corner. You don't know. And they're like, but he's not going the pace that I wanted to go. I said, I don't give a damn. That's your challenge then,
yep,
to go at his pace. And I said, I can fix it. I can get a new leader. We can swap out one of the guides, but I can't have you riding off into the distance when your safety is my priority. So no. And they were like, you know, but I want to set my pace. Nope. Right, slow then.
I it's a true story. It's funny. So we say walking. After I did the ride in the Italian Alps, it's very similar to what I do with triathlon. I'll tack a relaxation type holiday on it. And so after that, went to Cinque Terre. Is that how I say it? Cinque Terre. And I walked from one end or one of the towns to the other. But, you know, and
it's all like, it's on a coastal, and it's very pretty, but lots of stairs, I understand, yeah, and paths, yep, like sort of cobbly paths.
I couldn't walk the next day. So I'd just ridden, like seriously, I'd ridden up every big mountain you could think of in Italy for over 100K every day. Where I think we climbed 20,000 metres over 10 days, and I do a walk in one day. I get up the next morning and I seriously thought I was going to break down because I couldn't walk. So just goes to show what you're used to or not used to. You have to train for a walk as well, something like that.
Yes, you do. And I'm going on the Larapinta trek next year with some of our lovely business club colleagues. And yes, it's one of those things that people go, oh, I'm doing my walking, I'm doing my walks. And it's like, yeah, but you're walking around your neighborhood on flat ground, on asphalt for 5Ks,
yep,
we're talking about 7 kilometres of uneven, dry, dusty, rocky terrain that you can never, ever experience because we're talking about the centre of Australia. So I said, and they're like, you didn't tell us it'd be that hard. I was like, I did. And I told her you need to travel to train on uneven ground. Rugged terrain, I think I used was the term. You were ill-prepared. Oh. Not my, you know, and it, also, the key word here is challenge. You went on a challenge. So was it challenging? Yes. Brief met. Like, you don't sign up for a triathlete and then be like, oh, that was a walk in the park. Well, actually, walk in the park would be hard for you.
It would. But you don't spend that money to go and not give it your all and, you know, either. But
absolutely. And so what does it take to be a champion triathlete?
Dedication. You have to commit to the course. And you've got to love it. If you don't love it, it's just it's never going to come. Like the training, the pounding, the getting up early, the emotional drain is just as big as the physical drain, and you have to have a village around you. So they're the things I've learned. You've really got to have friends that understand that you may be in bed at 6 o'clock one night. sorry, can't go, or that you're running all weekend and, you know, can't make breakfast because you're still riding at 11 o'clock in the morning or things like that. But you can get in easy. It's like dip the toes in the water and see if you like it. But for me, I've got a little bit of a bugbear with my last race in Nice. I wasn't happy with it. So I found the challenge. I think if you can continually challenge yourself, whatever it is in life, but for me in triathlon or anyone to become better, you've got to take yourself out of your comfort zone and want to be better. So, yeah.
And does the travel and the destinations, does that drive you a bit too? You're like, oh, okay, last one. Oh, wait, new destination. I guess I could do a triathlon there.
Do you know what? Yeah, it does. Because as I said, I've kind of come into this pattern now where it does give you the opportunity to say, okay, even if I'm going here, so I raced in Slovakia one year. There's not really a lot to see there. So I had my first trip to Spain before that. So I actually went to Spain for a week to train. So it gives you the opportunity to add something on for me. I hope that my girls go somewhere and I'll just come as a support crew for them. I don't know whether I just necessarily need to ride or do triathlon, but I think that I don't think I'll stop traveling with a difference in terms of whether it's cycling tours or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, walking tours. Maybe.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, you're trekking up. Maybe we need to put a mountain in there, mountain trekking or something. Or they'll be kayaking or something. Oh, actually, I want to do my friend did the rap at the Grand Canyon, the rafting from the Grand Canyon, like a 4-day trip or 6 days or something. I was like, yes, that would be great. And it's lovely. And it's the only problem, isn't it? You find out about one of these things. You go, okay, I'll do that. And then while you're there, you find other people tell you, do this.
Yeah.
So basically you've just listened to Emma and Amanda's bucket list.
Yeah, let's hear who's done what we want to do.
Bring on your tips. But do you have any advice for people if they were to get into triathlon? Being a triathlete.
They could get into triathletes too, but that's a different podcast, isn't it?
A different podcast.
It's getting late. It's you can do teams events. Do you know that you can do teams events? So that's a really good way to get into it. If a lot of people, open water swimming can be worrying, but you can do little ones. They're fun. And honestly, if you're that way inclined to try it out, I would be really surprised if you didn't want to do another one if you succeeded, because the amazing feeling of finishing three disciplines, even if it is one of these tiny little mini ones.
They're like a kilometre, 20 kilometres and like 5Ks and stuff
like that. Well, it's even less. So they have sprint ones that, you've got me thinking now. My coach always gets me to do them and I really dislike them because I'm not a sprinter. So I think it's a 500-metre swim, 20-something K bike ride and a 5K run is a sprint sometimes. Yeah. So but you can have what they call fun tries. So most places will have fun tries. It's even half that. So, you're done in 20 minutes while I'm still out on course.
Yeah, we'll have our fun over here while you do the real Ironman work.
Yeah.
I love it. And just to clarify, you're an Ironman, whether you're a woman, it's Ironman is the name of the thing.
It's a brand. Do I get worried that you call it, you cross the line, it's Amanda Thompson, you are an Ironman. And I have no problem with it. And plus I'm absolutely exhausted. So you could call me anything in the world and I'm just happy to cross that line. But, you know, I'm a feminist as much as most of us, but it's just a brand. So it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Oh, it's so impressive. Now, it doesn't have to be triathlon related, but do you have a top travel tip for us?
Do you know what? We've talked about it a lot, haven't we? Is do it a different way. So wherever you go, I'm a real believer of getting out of your comfort zone. So you don't have to go and travel on bike the whole time you're there, but do something else. I went on a cross trail, called cross bike or whatever, kind of a cycle cross they're called, in Girona with my daughter. And that was just through the terrain of Girona with her, and that was awesome. So it wasn't road riding. We've been in canoes, you know. It's just experience something a different way would be my travel tip, and have travel insurance.
That was cute. I had my dad on the podcast, and like his tip was the travel insurance. I was like, oh, you're such a dad.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm a mum too.
No, you gave the other one for her, but I was like, you know, I was like, yeah, it's important to remember. We also had somebody on the podcast who got bitten by a monkey, so it was like travel insurance. Like, seriously, it's a game changer. But you've just reminded me, someone recently, they were like, oh, so caught up with our mutual friend. He was telling me about that time you did the naked bike ride, and I'm like, No, the story is wrong. I was in San Francisco doing a leisurely bike ride as a tourist, and we happened to come into contact with the naked bike ride protest. And so we rode along with them for a while. I was not naked, but it was the naked bike ride protest thing. So, hanging out with a bunch of naked people in San Fran. It's great.
I'm squirming in my seat because I do triathlons, and the thought of being on a bike seat naked, seriously, male or female, really?
Anyway, but yes, riding onto the Golden Gate Bridge was pretty, very, very cool experience. So,
yeah.
That's one for the list. Now tell us, if people want to know more, they may want to subscribe to Life in Lycra and hear about this triathlete life, but also maybe get some financial advice from at the same time. How can we contact you?
Yep. So my website's amandathompson.com.au. That's an easy one. And the best way to giggle along with me on Instagram is Amanda_tri_mum.
I love it. TRI as in, not TRY, trying to be a mum.
Could be both, actually.
it's a pun. Well done. Well, as always, it's an absolute pleasure, and thank you for sharing that very unique approach to travel with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Already looking forward to the next one. We also have a rather extensive back catalogue for you to check out. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. That's at Lovely Travels on Instagram.
Or you can come and check us out on Facebook, Lovely Travels. That's LOVELLY. Or we would love for you to join our Facebook community with more than 500 members talking all things travel and adventure. That's the Lovely Travels community.
You can also visit our website, which is lovelytravels.com.
Or shoot us an email. We love hearing from our listeners, so please send us an email, feedback, comments, questions, whatever. info@lovelytravels.com.
And you can listen, review, subscribe, like, share, and promote our podcast in any shape, way, or form. We are on Spotify, iTunes, the internet, Google Podcasts, everywhere where you get podcasts, you can find us.
All good podcasting locations. So tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.